Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
2020 rolled around, and marketers had all their plans set in stone. Events were the solid play for most of us, but there's nothing better than getting people together in a room to build those relationships. Then the arse fell out of the world, and every man, woman, and dog moved online. And if everyone is doing it, what's the point? So here's to the rise and fall of the webinar.
I'm Joe Glover, founder of The Marketing Meetup, a global community that connects and educates over 20,000 marketers in the most lovely way possible. Everything we do it to put the human beings we help first.
I'm Richard Wood. I lead the marketing agency Six & Flow. I've worked in marketing for around 19 years now, and I'm a massive believer in that marketers should be trying to engage with people on a human level, not just treating them as leads and numbers in a spreadsheet.
I really like events, and I do quite a lot of them, but we had to flip everything on its head last year, moving from physical to virtual, and it proved one thing: nothing stands still forever. So what is the best way of running events in 2021? So Rich, I'm going to start you off. Let's take a high level view on things and talk about the things that we like about events, either physical or virtual. So what are the pro points of events, and why should marketers be considering them?
People, bringing people together. Like, if you can bring people together and you have like people with similar views or like similar challenges or just things that connect them in some sort of way, if you can bring them together, ideally in a physical space, like that's half the battle, because people, like the things that spurn out of the room, you've run live events with like thousands of marketers. I heard you've got 20,000 marketers now. Congratulations, Joe.
Thank you.
But so you bring all those marketers together, or what you used to in a physical space, and like the things that spurn out of that, be it like if I was running an event, there's obviously, and they're not normally salesy events, but there's an undertone of like, we are trying to convince you to ultimately purchase something or engage with something. And if I bring people into an event and I get them in a room, that's half the battle, because we start having conversations and I can do that, and that's the message I'm putting out. But you've also got the other 40 odd people that are in that room having their own conversations and seeing things that spin out of it. And even though I might not be part of those conversations, I'm then seen as like the curator or instigator of those conversations as well. So there's that added residual value. You get it a bit online, but not to the same extent.
No, I think you're right. It's definitely been one of the biggest challenges is that my old boss used to call it the water cooler track, you know, which was, you know, you have the track where people are speaking, you know, you probably got a networking scenario or whatever, but it is the conversations over the water cooler, those moments of serendipity. That are really, really hard to replicate in the virtual world, which is a shame, because, you know, that's kind of, I think if we reflect on our own businesses, whether that's our agency sides or whatever else that we're doing, then by the time most people come in as customers, they probably already feel like friends. Yeah. And that's for the most part because of those personal connections that you build up over the course of time. And usually that will start at an event, because we all get intros flown at us left, right, and center, or LinkedIn requests and stuff like that. But even that, the tone of it is very, very different. So you're right. It's just the people. It's just the people, and ideally a physical space. But do you think that it's not possible in the virtual world that we're bringing people together in the same way for those realistic conversations, or is it just less possible?
So I don't think it's not possible. Because I think, as in, I think it is possible, but I just don't think most of us, it enters any of our minds. Because I think what happened in March is the entire marketing community went, what the fuck am I supposed to do now? I had all these events planned out for the like quarterly for the next 12 months. I've got budget signed off. Everything was ready to go. And then all of a sudden, you can't do that anymore. And I think what happened is everybody immediately went, okay, do you know what we'll do? we'll turn all of our physical events into webinars, or we'll create all this stuff. We did it. You did it. Like every marketer I know who was in demand or the brand space had some sort of involvement in creating a webinar presence. But I think the mistake we made, and again, we made it, is that we just took the same content, the same format, and we pushed it onto like a digital format, Zoom calls. And mm-hmm. that was okay to a certain extent. Like, I mean, for the first, like, let's say the first 3 months, understandable. It was quick fire changing, like shooting from the hip. Okay, let's do what we can as quickly as we can. And actually, let's help people. So we took all of our sales messaging out of it. And we were just like, look, we're going to connect you with a bunch of our partners who all have free tools. Come and learn mm-hmm. how you can use those free tools and see how that works in your business. But what we didn't do was look at changing the format in the ways that we could then try and spur some of those conversations that we used to get in the other rooms. So I think most marketers at the moment are still in that webinar. Here's a pitch deck. Well, not a pitch deck. Here's a deck. We're going to run you through that deck. We're going to talk at you for 30 minutes and then you can ask some Q&A at the end. That's okay. But I must get invited to dozens of those every other day that are just like, it's the same shit. Nothing kind of jumps out to me. And if I look at how I engage in physical events, so Inbound, I go to Inbound every year since we became a HubSpot partner. It's the main reason we became a HubSpot partner, because I got to go and speak to other partners. Mm-hmm. The keynotes, like, sometimes there's amazing keynotes, sometimes they've been a bit lackluster, but and the content, the breakout content, the workshops, the like that stuff was good. But I'm now kind of in a position where actually I don't get a lot out of those sessions anymore, sometimes because I'm too hungover to actually engage with it. But what I do get out of it is the fact that I'm having conversations with HubSpotters, other agency owners. The session I learned most out of any Inbound I've ever been to is I went and got, I had a few beers with one of the agency owners over in the States, and we're still mates today. Like, we have a regular call and we just spent an afternoon drinking beers and chatting shit about agency life. And I learned fucking loads. And that's what you get out of physical events. And I think that's what I'm not suggesting that people go out and like create all of these like interactions, but, and kind of just focus on that bit. But I think that's what these events are missing now. And when you've got thousands of them going on, you're only ever going to see a declining return because people are like, oh, it's another fucking webinar.
Uh-huh. So how do you take that element of that serendipity or those conversations and transport it to the virtual space? So, for example, I'd say, you know, our main offering as the marketing meetup is sort of the webinar style events that you're speaking about, or those are certainly the center point that we bring people around. And then we did have a second format, which was more, it was called Conversation Club. And in Conversation Club, we had folks that were brought together in a Zoom meeting. So rather than a Zoom webinar, and then they were randomly matched with four other people for 15 minutes just to have a conversation. And it was like, you know, it was like that almost random networking sort of scenario that went on. And I think we're going to bring it back because I think people do want...
What traction did you get off that?
Well, we didn't get massive. And the reason why we stopped it was that I think there's some nuance within it, right? You know, so we did it every week and I think that's too often. So we were running it every week and we got those same regular faces. And I'd say there was probably anywhere between like 30 and 50 sort of people who came every week. But then there was probably like the extra 20, 30 who sort of like added on top each week. So like by like an agency event, sort of 80 people in the room, that's actually quite good. But like by marketing meetup standards, it wasn't like crazy good. It didn't justify, you know, the effort that it took to promote it, the share of voice in our messages. So I think one of the big things when it comes to promotion of events in 2021 is like, I am very, very conscious that I'm throwing a lot of messages to my community through digital channels, particularly email, but also through social channels. And I don't want to be in that selling mode all the time. So that was something that I really struggled with, which is why we minimize things down to one event per week on a regular time. So the traction was very significant for the folks who attended, but there wasn't a rage and demand for it. And I wonder whether it's also a representation of the thing that I speak about very regularly, which is that fear of walking into a room with strangers and sort of being expected to speak, which is a very real thing. And the reason why I started the marketing meetup all that time ago as well.
So that's like when you say to me conversation club, like I never came to one of these events, not because I didn't think they were worthwhile, Joe. I was just very busy. But I never came to one of these. And like when you say conversation club to me, it immediately makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, because I'm like, I don't want to go into a room and just chat shit with some random people in some forced conversation. It's like the equivalent of forced fun. Like I'm being put into a situation. What I do like is where I've chosen to go to an event. So like if we dial it back to the physical events, I've chosen to go to a event around, okay, let's say it's inbound. So I'm going to go to an event around inbound marketing. So everybody else in the room has some sort of interest in there. There is an understanding of what's going there. And then I can choose to engage with people around me. Like, and prime example, your events in the physical space, the ones I came to, you had pizza. So people at like halfway in the talks or like at the end of the talks, people had something that they could naturally kind of stand around and have like that lectern barrier between them and the conversation if they need it. It's just those like that as an introvert, I'm happy to engage in spaces like that. But what I don't want to do is go somewhere where I feel like I'm just going to be dropped into a conversation space. And I'm a confident person. Like I'm happy to do that stuff. I just don't feel comfortable, so I'll avoid it if I can. So that's where I think there needs to be a balance between an event that you can have learning from, but it also opens up the channels for more communications, cross communication.
Okay, so that is interesting. And even as my brain's sort of ticking over, then you know, like it is the word balance. And so you know, if we've identified that there's those opportunities for serendipity, those opportunities for learning and stuff like that, is there a, you know, I'm almost getting consultancy out of my business here, you know, and I agree about conversation club language, by the way. I think it never really sat entirely right with me, but it was one of those quick moves type things. I wonder whether one of the nice things, because as an introvert, one of the barrier or one of the first questions that I always used to ask was, what did you think of the talks? So I wonder if there's something which is a little bit more, there is a talk, but then there's the opportunity to network afterwards, albeit by a virtual. But what we're doing is acknowledging that it's a similar thing, but the entry point is at least a conversation around the talks or whatever it may be.
I think there is, but I still feel like that is kind of almost like a forced engagement, because there's no shared experience that you're going through. Like if I'm sat next to you at an event, shoulder to shoulder, and we've just heard someone great, and they've delivered like a message and it resonates, blah, blah, blah. There's that kind of, we've experienced something together, and you don't quite get that same level of experience because it's like a 2D, well, and like obviously you've got the sound stuff, but you're learning and engaging through a screen. There's no physical contact. So it feels like to then go from that, I'm not sat next to somebody, I haven't seen anybody else there, to then go into a chat room with them, I might as well just be going kind of blank into a chat room, having given like the speaker notes beforehand. It doesn't matter that it's kind of there. So I still feel like it's kind of missing something. So what, like, and we talked about this last week for like one of the plans that we've got, and I, by no means am I saying that this is like the way that it should be done, but it's we're trying it to see if it will work, is shifting to that panel like process where we are going to ask questions. So I'm hosting two people on Thursday. We're going to I'm going to ask them a bunch of questions, we'll have a bit of conversation, and then we'll open it up. But what I'm doing in that is I'm painting the picture from the beginning, saying, okay, here is the format. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to dig into this. I'm going to ask people to ask more questions. And then from that, I can then encourage people to ask the questions as they're doing it. I don't get the cross-pollination, but I do get the kind of them to the speaker. But I don't think, and I think maybe it's a platform limitation, or maybe it's just a mentality limitation of how do we then get that engagement like between attendees, not between attendee and speaker, attendee and host. So we tried it with Summit, like on the Summit. We tried with the Facebook stuff. Now I think that was a little bit doomed to failure because we did it like, I mean, we'd already finished the first fucking talk and then we decided to do it. But like we got about like 80 people joined into it. They started asking questions. People were engaging with it, and they still do now. And we started to build a little bit of that community. So we had almost like a sub channel from what was going on with the talks. And because it was through Facebook, as much as I fucking hate Facebook, because it was through Facebook, people are seeing people with their personal non kind of work face on. I know some people do use it for work, et cetera, but it's like a much more like, well, it's still curated, but I would say it's a more real reflection than your LinkedIn profile, I guess.
As you're speaking, it makes me question whether the responsibility lays, I think the answer is going to be between the two, but the responsibility lays between the attendee and the organizer though, you know, and actually any format is doomed and indeed could be successful on the basis of the engagement that you get from the folks who are watching, you know. So I'd give the example of the marketing meetup because I experience it every week. The chat feature is alive. It's amazing, you know. And as an example, so Louis Grenier from Everyone Hates Marketers came and gave a chat. And at the end of his talk, it wasn't actually, it was sort of like one of the very last things he said. You know, he confessed, you know, and spoke about how he often feels anxious and scared and how he messes up on the regular and stuff like that. And the messages, it was, you know, it was like one of those old fashioned sort of light boards that you get in radio shows, you know, it just sort of lit up. And it was folks saying, oh, me too, I feel like that, you know. And actually there was a conversation that was built in around that chat feature. Granted, it was within the format that we've discussed, but folks started supporting each other, you know, beyond just the chat. So people were chatting while I was asking the questions that were in the Q&A feature and stuff like that. So I guess the question then becomes for me, because, you know, personally, I sit on the, I appreciate that you're not saying one is bad and one is good. You're saying that, you know, there's been a progression. I enjoy the presentation format still because I think it's an efficient use of information, you know, putting across information. But if the responsibility is on the attendees to actually use that chat feature, if they want to, it can become a magical place. And maybe the responsibility is on the organizer to make sure it's used in the appropriate way. So like through constant reinforcement, that's an important part of the event.
When did you last attend a webinar that you weren't running?
I've done a few of the Marketing Week ones and I've done a few of the Marketing Academy ones, but those are the only ones, and typically with a specific speaker.
Yeah. So like that's, it's great that you are getting that engagement in those channels. Now I would say that part of that is there's going to be some elements in that, like there are a bunch of elements, but I'll try and pick out some of them. Is some of them, you've built a community, so they are there to be a community, they are there to have that engagement. And the great thing about the marketing meetup is you gave people that sense of community when they were locked in their houses. The other great thing is that you're not selling people anything, you are giving them content for free. Obviously you have the training stuff coming in, but it's not a sales pitch. Like none of that is about flogging them wares. And the final thing is, I think like it's a safe space. Like it is a space where like you've built a group of people who are all sickeningly lovely to each other because it's built in your image. And I think that's like people have that environment to have that space. And I think you're absolutely right. It is on the organizers to make sure that they are like facilitating that. So like the tools allow us to have that chat within the webinars. But actually the webinar is only part of the puzzle because you've got all of the lead up to it. You've got all of the post to it. And both of those, obviously lead up time, it can be as long or short as you want it to be. But after the event, you've got an infinite amount of time that, well, hopefully, unless you want to go through the world is ending that you ended last week's podcast on. But the at least half of them in that scenario, Joe, will still have infinite amount of time. So it like, and but you've got that like, what I don't think people do very well is engage with people before and after the event. So I don't think people, like sometimes you will get a quick note saying, hey, let us know if you've got any questions that you want us to ask in the Q&A, if you're not confident asking, stuff like that. That's, I think that's dipping your toe in the water. But I think there is way more that we could start to engaging with interesting people. Like imagine, it's difficult when you're doing this at scale, but imagine if you could go actually, because you can't share all of your database, because then you kind of ruin what you've built and that's your business model, et cetera, et cetera. But what you could could do, and you can't do it at the volumes you're doing it, but what you could do at a smaller volume is go, hey, Joe Blogs, I've just seen like your profile. I actually think you should speak to this person, and almost like, like date match beforehand, and say, hey, here's somebody that I think you should definitely speak to before or after the event, because you're working similar spaces, and like it would be great to have get your collective thoughts on what you thought about on this. Like we've even set up like a forum for you, or like we've got a Slack channel that there is a, like I've set up like a private channel. I'm going way over the top here, but like I'm just like, I think there's other ways to get that pre-engagement. And I think post-engagement, sending out the video is great. Like we all do it. Like, yeah, here's the video. Here's the slide deck. If you've got any questions you want to ask the speaker, great. But then we just let it die out. We just, like, it's just a thing that goes out as part of it. We're not actually engaging. Like, I think what would be a much better thing to do is, like, similar to, like, pre, is actually go, actually, like, what did you think of the event? I thought this question was like super relevant to you, but actually I've also spoken to this person and they thought the same thing. I think you guys should have a discussion around this. That's, I mean, we're getting super like, you're almost like ABM levels of targeting there. But like, I think that's where we're going to start to see more value from webinars, because the big format stuff, yours will keep going because people don't feel like they're threatened. They're getting like, as in being about to be sold to, that you've got great speakers coming across, although you've never invited me because you're an asshole, but
a secret
asshole that nobody else gets to see. But, which hang on, let's rewind that a little bit. But
I mean, not many.
Anyway, you don't need to say what you're about to say. I think if you could wind it down and actually focus on who you attended, I imagine, like, based on what we do anywhere between, our biggest webinar was like 350 people. Our average webinar is probably about 50, 30 people, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think when you're at like 30, 50 people, there's fucking no reason you can't go, hey, that person is similar to this person, let's connect those people, and actually why don't I like set up a three-way conversation with them and like actually kind of flesh it out. And actually when you're asking people if they want, because some people are just gonna, I want the content, and then you can fuck off, that's fine. But some people, like when they're signing up to it, just be like, hey, would you be up for like having conversations around this afterwards? Not necessarily with us. We're not gonna like, I'm not asking you to put your hand up and say, yeah, come speak to me and sell me your shit. But like, put your hand up and go, yeah, actually I'm happy to have a conversation with a like-minded person within this group that has been hand-picked for me. I think that's where you'll start to get more out of it.
Well, there's two things there. The first is that's the nature of community, that folks start speaking beyond just the conversation that you're having with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second is that, again, this, you know, it's remarkable how this fits within the wider thing where we all get so hung up with the biggest numbers, you know, so like the certain expos that used to sell them on, you know, the biggest one ever, you know, and it's thousands of people and stuff like that. And you know, as if that's the most impressive thing.
Yep.
The truth is that if you're getting 30 people to your webinar and you're able to provide that meaningful connection, then, and even better, if they're 30 people that are exactly in your target audience, you would take 30 people in your target audience over 10,000 who weren't any day of the week. You know, so
how we work as an agency is we typically don't use webinars for net new leads. Like right. Yes, absolutely, it's open to everybody. We want everybody to show up, mm-hmm. like blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, blah. But actually what I'm looking to do is bring in people who are already in our pipeline. We are already in discussions.
Yeah.
And we get to do a mixture of things. Show them how smart we are with the content. Show them how connected we are with the people that we can bring it in. And just generally make them feel like the vibe and the energy of the agency. And if I can do those things with the people, and like if I can nudge them another 10% towards closing, then the webinar's done its job. But if you look at the stats from a top level, like you've only had 15 people show up to this webinar, and actually you've had no new leads because we already know all those people. Don't give a shit. Yeah. As long as I can then, as long as it becomes a touch point in that conversion, then it will hands down pay for it, particularly now that we're digital. But like that, my point with this is, and like I knew when I suggested this topic, you'd have a little internal freak out with like, Rich is about to shit all over my business model, which he did.
Yeah.
But my point isn't that webinars are like gone. I think we flog the shit out of them. Like, yeah. As with everything, marketers ruin everything eventually. And we flog the shit out of them because we all panicked and went, okay, what the hell else can we do? And I think we just need, as marketers, like, and as salespeople, because you're not scot-free in this process, but I think we need to just reevaluate what are the processes before and after, and how can we reposition those and just mix it up a little bit. Like you're saying, you still like webinar content. You think it's an efficient form to get knowledge, et cetera, et cetera. And that's great. I don't disagree. But I do also think that we are missing the community and the conversation pieces either side of it. So I think there's, if you want to still run those, great. I would suggest trying things like a panel or like just other formats, but also look at how you're wrapping that up with the communication and the community vibe either side of it.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. And you know, you're right, I did have a freak out. But I think...
I'm not going to say that wasn't intentional.
But I think, you know, the place that I'm coming to on this is an agreement with you. Is about a thoughtfulness piece, really. It's like, okay, well, why are we doing the thing that we're doing? Let's not just do it because we're replacing events that we were going to attend. But then there's also a nuance, you know. So, you know, again, it goes back down to business objectives and saying, you know, for example, you know, the conversation we just had about the 15 people, you know, and for example, in that scenario, then a conversation that just happens to be broadcasted is an amazing, you know, is an amazing format and stuff like that. So, you know, I think... it's again, it's like any marketing conversation ever. We got wrapped up in the tactics when COVID struck because it was like, fuck, event, webinar, easy. But you're right. You're spot on. I think you said the words, you know, we just need to take a step back. I think that's right. You know, we need to take a step back and say, okay, now is a webinar the right thing? You know, because there is a lot of competition out there. People about are speaking it in a different way, and it may be that it's right for me, but it's not right for you. And it, you know, and that's cool. So I think that's a nice place to come to, really. And again, it's sort of, it's one of these things, isn't it, where we inevitably end up having conversations for whatever reason as marketers about molehills when we forget about the mountain in the background, you know. And really, you know, we need to be having the mountain conversation before we think about the molehill. And I think that's actually a really refreshing conversation to have, in a way, to sort of go in deep, but then sort of realize that there's the mountain behind you and go, oh, wait, yeah, you know what? That's the reason why we're doing this thing. So, so yeah, it's cool.
So I think we're done then.
Yeah, nice. Well, we've wrapped it up. Yeah, event sorted. I tell you what, we're putting the world to rights here. We're doing all right.
I was hoping for a blazing row.
No, I mean, this was my version of a blazing row, so.
So, like last week, Joe and I decided that we were going to start giving away swag for people that leave us nice reviews, because we thought you did something for us, we'd do something nice for you. And a few of you have, and that's great. So I went away and got some t-shirts designed, and may have gone a little bit overboard and end up ordering a couple of hundred of them. So if you leave us a nice review, reach out to us and let us know that you've left a review, because it's very difficult to pin it back to the actual person, then we will send you some swag when it arrives, because I think it's only fair. You do something for us, we'll do something for you. And that's about it. Love Joe, it. Anything else from you?
No, I guess I'll have to pay for half. So
I'll stick it on your tab, Joe. See everybody.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.